Linda and I, in the 1990s, started a mission organization with the deaf called DOOR, Deaf Opportunity Outreach International. And in that experience of working with the deaf, we learned a lot of things that don't work for them in the hearing churches and in missions and many other things. So we're going to explore a little bit of that today. But one of the things that we found was many times on the Bible passages, they see things that we don't see. And so today we're going to talk about Jesus healing the deaf man. And that's in Mark 7. I'm going to be reading if I can. I can never decide if I need these or not. I'm going to try it without them. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. There, some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears and then spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." A great perspective on this is a deaf versus hearing, and the first time the deaf told me what they saw in this story, it was very different than what I heard in most churches or in Sunday schools. First of all, let's just say that Jesus knew that this man had a disability, and that made him unclean, unable to go to the temple, unable to be probably in many things that normally would be part of the life in the Jewish community. But he knew that this deaf man needed something, and he was very compassionate. Now, most hearing pastors will say that some friends brought this deaf man to this Jesus to see if they could heal him. And the deaf scoff at that and say, "This deaf man did not have any friends. Okay, he was unclean, he was disabled, he couldn't communicate, they couldn't communicate with him. There was no sign language at that time. Actually, sign languages are very young, late 1600s, before the first formal sign language was there. Most likely, the deaf say, the deaf guy had no clue what was happening, but these people were bringing him before Jesus because they wanted to see, they'd seen other miracles. Well, they wondered, you know, can he heal a deaf man? Can he have a deaf man speak? And that makes much more sense to the deaf people about why this person would be there. And I guess it wasn't friends, it was probably just a, I wonder if kind of a thing. And so they brought him before him. Now, he had no idea who Jesus was, probably. No one could tell him, and he wasn't circulating in society. The other thing is he was probably scared out of his mind, because he had no idea what was going on. Suddenly they're dragging him into this crowd of people, and he doesn't know if they're gonna beat him or, you know, why am I? He has no idea why I am here. And the deaf have this concept that they talk about of visual noise. For us, we go to a restaurant that has tile floors and nothing on the walls, and you can hear all this conversation going around. So that would be auditory noise, right? For deaf, visual noise is when something's happening and it's visual, but they're not sure why it's there, what's going on. And that's probably what was happening with this deaf man. He was probably looking at, well, they put him before this guy. I don't know that guy. All these people, I'm not sure. And there's some Pharisees over there, and maybe I'm just going to get punished or what. I don't know what's going to happen. Jesus knew that. And this is very interesting when it said that Jesus took him aside like this, right? That probably indicated to this guy, he knows what's going on, and he knows I can't take this. So it's the only miracle in the Bible, All the other miracles, the lepers and the healing and the reason, Jesus just did them, and everybody was watching that and was part of it. And so when Jesus took him to the side like this, he did several things. One of the things that he did was look up, and the other thing he did was that sigh, and I'm going to get to that. But the thing is, he touched his ears and then his mouth with his spit, and that indicated to the deaf man, I know that you can't hear, and I know that you can't speak. And it's just the two of us having this, not a conversation, but this visual interchange with each other. And then he looked up, and again, that in the deaf world, that's what's called a directional sign. It's basically when he had him look up, all of a sudden, you people all disappear, right? And he doesn't necessarily know he's looking up at God. He just knows that, again, Jesus is getting all of this noise out of my life. And then when he says, Ephatha, be opened, the deaf man can hear and can speak. And again, in Sunday school and most of the sermons that I've heard, the emphasis is he could hear. And the deaf scoff at that and go, so what? The real miracle is he could speak plainly, is what that passage says. This guy never heard a word in his life, okay? And all of a sudden, he can speak plainly. That's incredible. Linda and I have a friend in Africa who was deaf and went to a deaf school. And when he was, I think, 14 years old, some doctors from Amsterdam came to the school and they picked three deaf people, flew them in an airplane, which, you know, it was an incredible experience when these guys had never been out of their village hardly, took them to the hospital and did surgery on their ears. Boniface woke up hearing. And he said it's the most terrifying thing that ever happened to him. Because at that time, no air conditioning in the hospitals. The windows, you know, trucks are going down the road, backfiring and banging, and nurses are clanging. And he doesn't know where the source of these noises are, because he's never heard them before. And so he just was totally confused. They put him in a deaf home for 30 days, and nobody in the home could sign. He didn't know any Dutch, of course. So that was another experience for him. Flew him back to Kenya. He went back to his deaf school, and they said, you're not deaf. You can't come to this school. You have to go to the hearing school. So they put him in the hearing school. He didn't know English. He didn't know Swahili. He didn't know his tribal language, Kikuyu. And all of a sudden, they expect him to go to school. Well, he had a nervous breakdown and went back. The deaf headmaster realized that and took him back and tutored him in Swahili and English. And Boniface says it took 2 years before I could effectively communicate back and forth. So again, for the deaf, they look at this story and they say, it just isn't, the miracle is, he became hearing, but okay, big deal. But the real miracle is that he could communicate plainly. One other thing that I left out is when Jesus looked up and then he did that deep sigh, around the world with the deaf, that's what's called a non-manual marker. I mean, it's not coming from your hands, it's coming from your body. And that sigh around the world means no worries, you're at peace, it's okay. And so, again, Jesus was communicating with that deaf man in a way that nobody else in his society could possibly do it. I'm going to talk a little bit about missions, surprise, surprise, since I was in missions for about 25 or 30 years. I want to kind of look at the biblical mandate for missions, and most of you have heard this before, but it's when Jesus is just before he ascends, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you until the end of the age. He didn't say some nations. He said all nations, right? Many, many years ago, in my previous life, as we call it, I was on a missions committee in a local church here in town. And anytime I undertake something, I like to do some research. And I was shocked to learn that of all of the giving that happens in the Christian community, 98% of it stays within the Christian community, and only 2% goes to missions. That bothered me, but what bothered me a whole lot more was when Jesus said all nations, he's talking about all nations. And we know in mission terms we have UPGs, unreached people groups. And we know where they are now. We have the technology and all that we need. But of that 2% that's going to missions, I'll give you an example, but I just read it again yesterday or the day before. Of that $100,000, only $104 is going to unreached people groups. Almost everybody else is serving in places where there's already a Bible or there's already a church and that kind of thing. So we're not doing very well when it comes to reaching unreached people groups. Clearly, the church is not embracing what Matthew says to us in Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So for those of us that embrace that, we're saying, yes, Jesus can come tomorrow. I agree with that. But by his words and by Matthew's words and some other places where Peter talks about God is patient and wanting all to come to faith, that there's still work to be done. Jesus left us with work to do, and it's to meet all the nations. And among that are the unreached people groups. About that time, that going back to that missions committee and looking at that, God gave me a verse that kind of became my guiding verse for missions, and it's in Romans 15, verse 20. And Paul is saying, it's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Well, like I said, that verse had it for probably 15 or 20 years and couldn't understand why God gave that to me. And then he introduced me to the deaf. And it was like, aha, here's a group of 70 million people. And they don't have a Bible in their in sign language at that time. They don't have any mission agency would accept a deaf person. We had one of our people that became one of our missionaries that applied to 28 different mission agencies. And because she couldn't read or write well and not had been to Bible college, she couldn't get into any of them. Now, when I say deaf don't read and write well, some of you are probably going, why not? Because if I were deaf, that's what I would do probably, is read a lot. I already like to read and don't have enough time, but if I was deaf, I'd probably have more time. I could read. Well, think about it. All right, I assume most of you are English speakers. How many of you know what I said? Nobody? Okay. Now think about it. If you're born deaf and you've never heard a word, you already have language, but you couldn't do it anyway. You have no language and you're trying to read my lips? Like, forget that, right? And so when deaf people, let me say one more thing. Deaf are the only people group in the world that do not learn language from their parents. Ever thought about that? Most of you out there, if you had children, or if you're going to have children, and they're born deaf, you don't know sign language, and they have no clue why your lips are moving. So they grow up for a long, long time with no language, which is why they can't read or write well. And so usually what happens is that at some point, the parents just can't deal with it anymore, and they put them in a deaf school, and that's where they learn their language. And by that time, they're usually 5 to 9 years old, and they're going to learn sign language. They're not going to learn English or Amharic or Swahili or whatever. So this is why they don't read and write well. So what does DOOR do? Because we realize, okay, we've got 70 million people, and they have no Bibles, They have no teachers. They have no denomination or mission agency at that time that's trying to reach them. And so it really, as the Deaf would say, penetrated our heart, and we formed this organization called Door International. And from the beginning, I told the Deaf, I'm not Deaf. I don't know sign language. I don't know your culture yet, but I'm a learner. But I'm telling you right now, for 2,000 years, the Hearing Church has failed to reach the Deaf. So we are not going to ask hearing people how to do this, and we're not going to let hearing people do it. And so all of our teachers, all of our Bible translators, all of the workers, custodians, the food servers, because we have a big, couple of big campuses, they're all Deaf. So if you go to that campus, you're disabled. You won't know what's going on unless you have an interpreter, which includes me, by the way. So realizing the other thing that the Deaf told me that really struck both Linda and I is, yeah, they asked me, do you believe that all believers have a spiritual gift? And I said, yeah, I think, you know, they have one or more sometimes. And they said, well, if we're in a hearing church, well, let me back up. They knew I had been flying all over the United States going to mega churches, raising money for the Soviet Union to put churches in each one of the former Soviet republics. And so they said, well, so in all that travel, how many Deaf pastors did you meet? How many Deaf elders? How many Deaf Sunday school teachers? Ushers? And they said, if we're in a hearing church long enough, they'll put a broom or a rake in our hand. And I went, that can't be right. Absolutely does not fit with what Scripture tells me about spiritual gifts and who has them. So we embarked on saying that we need to follow Jesus' commands. You know, we need to evangelize, we need to teach, we need to disciple, and we need to establish fellowships, where, like they did in Acts 2. And so we began with an evangelism program where we trained Deaf people for 11 months in how to plant churches, how to evangelize, how to start Bible studies, all of those things. Unfortunately for them, the first couple of years I was the only teacher, so I was teaching through interpreters. But now that part of it is behind us, hearing people don't do that anymore. It's all Deaf-led. Door now has about 235 people worldwide. 200 of them are full-time Deaf workers, and they are doing the work. So we started with that, and then not too long after that, God touched me one day in a Sunday school class to look up that verse about, it's always been my ambition. And I looked at the verse right after it, and Paul is quoting the prophet Isaiah, and Isaiah says, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. And I went, wow, that's exactly what we're doing. We're producing video Bibles, right? Because you can't give them a book, right? It has to be something they can see. And so that's what we're doing with sign language. We're translating it into their sign languages. By the way, everybody probably thinks there's one sign language. Many of you do. There's over 300. And the vast majority of them have not a single verse of the Bible in sign language. And so our goal is to change that, but it's difficult. It's very expensive to do a video. You're basically making a movie, so you have video studios, cameras, all of that kind of thing. But it went back to it again and went, why did Isaiah say that those who were not told, which they haven't been, will see? And I thought, because he's a prophet. He maybe didn't have any idea what that meant, but that's basically what's happening right now around the world, is the Deaf are beginning, having not been told, they're beginning to see. And then he says, and those who have not heard will understand. And again, the same thing, we do this evangelism program, then we do a discipleship program, and then we establish what's called Deaf Believers Fellowship. And by that time, they're understanding who God is, where, and all of that. Some of the interesting, by the way, there's no clock back there, so sorry about that. When we tell the creation, Deaf think chronologically, because they watch things unfold in order. And so unlike our movies of today where you can't figure out who's where, we start with, in the beginning, God. And it's very interesting the reaction we get because, again, it's usually done on a street corner somewhere where the two deaf people will be talking, where they know there's other deaf people around them. So they'll stand there and they'll be talking back and forth and telling the what we call the ABC story, which is from creation to the church, to the church. And these deaf people will come over inevitably because they want to know who these people are and what they're doing. So the first thing they do is they tell them, I don't know, 25 years ago I wrote what they call the ABC story. It's just a very quickly going from creation through, you know, everybody sins and then they get to Jesus. He didn't sin, he followed him and his resurrection. And then they tell him the creation story. And almost every time the deaf will say, I know somebody made this, I know somebody made this, I know somebody made this. I always wondered who made those clouds and who made those trees, and now I know. And not only made them, he just said it and there they are. I want to know more about this God. So it's been an amazing journey to do that and to watch their reactions and their desire to spread that word to other people. Dohr, as far as we can tell, has probably seen 40 to 50,000 deaf people come to faith in Christ. And that's really, really exciting. But there's 70 million deaf people in the world. So there's still a lot of unreached deaf. And we need to pray that not only us, but there's other agencies that are now using our Bible translations and techniques to train translators and to do the Bible translation. So that's exciting. I want to just also tell you, for those of you that are members or we're not members, we just come here, right, of Tankaverde Bible Church, that Tankaverde Bible Church is supporting Dohr. We have missionaries Jeremy and Whitney Simons. Jeremy is deaf. And Jeremy is in charge of all the IT for all of these different countries that we're working in, like 50 countries. And he's designed what he calls a studio in a box. And it's, I don't know, it's a fairly good sized box. It has lights in it, reflectors, cameras, computer, everything that. So if we set up a translation program in Ethiopia after training them, he goes there and he sets up a complete video studio for them. And many of them don't have access to these computers and stuff like that. So I think it's about $8,500 or something like that. Jeremy just got back from Budapest, Hungary, and Kenya, where he worked with the translation teams around there and put together a three-year program for where we're going to go next with all of our translation programs. So I want to just to pray for Jeremy and Whitney and for Dohr, and to thank you for listening. We are excited about what's going to happen with Dohr, and we're excited that Tankaverde Bible Church is part of it. So let me pray. Father, we're come before you humbly and realizing that universally as a church we're not doing a great job of making disciples of all nations, and we ask that you would intervene in many, many churches and have us repent and also look forward to how we can reach these unreached people groups. And as the mission world is recognizing, the 70 million deaf represent one of the biggest unreached people groups in the world, and we just ask that you would bless the work of Dohr, but also others that are coming alongside and finally bringing the word of God to the deaf. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.